Hi, this is Tyson Brown. I'm with the NSTA Press. This marks our fifth installment of the NSTA Press Behind the Books series. Today I'm talking to Gail Jones, Amy Taylor, and Mike Falvo, the authors of Nanoscale Science, Activities for Grades 6 through 12, a book that will help your middle school and high school students understand the big implications of a tiny technology. Gail, Mike, Amy, welcome.
Thanks, Tyson.
Happy to be here.
Mike, tell us what nanoscience is and why nanoscience is an exciting new area of scientific research.
Nanoscience is an area of scientific research that focuses on the molecular scale and the nanoscale, so basically how particles and proteins and large molecules behave and how they may be used in technology. The field is really a hybrid of various basic science fields, physics, chemistry, biology, and material science. What's new is that we have completely new ways of observing this world, and this has led to some pretty strange new questions and some interesting new answers.
What has changed so that we're able to pursue this field of technology?
Well, the first thing is that we have new tools. So we have microscopes and other instruments that allow us to go down to the scale and see things, analyze things at the molecular scale with really high resolution. And what we can also do is not only image things and see them, but we can manipulate them, pick them up, stretch them, and do any number of experiment that we want to do. Secondly, our ability to make stuff or fabricate particles, structures at this scale has really improved in recent years. So through new chemistry and material science methods, we can make any number of new types of particles.
Tell me about how nanoscience leads to new technologies.
Well, there's a couple of different areas that I think it's going to impact in the next 15 years. The first is in the biomedical area. Nanotechnology has really huge potential in the area of drugs. One of the fundamental problems with drugs is their lack of specificity. Chemotherapy is a classic example where we kill a lot of the healthy cells in the body to get rid of the cancer. With nanotechnology, we can engineer particles with very specific chemistry to carry the drug to the target tissue and target cells. The second big area of applications is in advanced materials for consumer use and industrial use. For example, there's a certain type of smart material called a shape memory alloy, which can be trained to assume different shapes when heated. And one area where these are being used is for earthquake-proofing buildings. The shape memory alloy can adjust its shape and stiffness to prevent building collapse.
How is that a nanotechnology?
Well, the nanotechnology goes into the engineering of the material. Sometimes when we're talking about nanotechnology or nanomaterials, we're not necessarily talking about individual small particles, but control of a big material at the molecular scale.
Well, why do the small pieces, the nanoparticles, behave differently than, I guess, the big pieces, the macroparticles?
They behave differently basically because they're really, really small. And one way of looking at this is surface-to-volume ratio. Because the nanoparticles are so tiny, the properties attached to their bulk, like their mass, becomes much less important than the properties associated with their surface, such as chemical reactivity.
Gail, I noticed that you have a section in your book on the pitfalls of nanotechnology.
There's a lot of really interesting challenges that come with using these new technologies. We've always had nanoparticles in our world from things like volcanoes and from forest fires, but we really don't know much at all about how human-engineered particles affect living organisms. So in addition to environmental impacts about having the particles out in our air and water, there are a number of other potential side effects for new technologies, including ethical questions. We currently use nanoparticles to label some materials, and this is a very good thing. If you want to, for example, track an explosive from the plant where it's created to a site where it's used. But what if your clothing gave off a sort of a nano dust that could track your every movement? Some futurists have said that one of the greatest impacts of nanotechnology is going to be the loss of privacy to individuals. We have two different chapters in our book that look at ways in which nanotechnology could be positive or negative. One of our chapters is called Promise or Peril, Nanotechnology and the Environment, and the other is Too Little Privacy, the Ethics of Nanotechnology.
Tell me a little bit about one of those chapters. How is it that a student could understand those ethical questions a little more deeply?
Okay, for Too Little Privacy, in that particular activity, students consider three different scenarios. One of them is using nano labels, and we want them to think about things like, would you want somebody to know, for example, what brand of underwear you buy, or what kind of food you're buying in the grocery store? Maybe you're buying those fattening cookies, and do you really want people to be able to track everything you use in this world? But a positive influence could actually be, suppose you had your grandfather had Alzheimer's and you wanted him to have a distinctive sort of label where his movements could be tracked easily. The students, though, in the Too Little Privacy activity also look at issues related to health. And so things like, what if you had monitors that were so small that they could detect if you had diabetes, whether or not you needed to get more insulin? So all of your health issues could be both labeled as well as monitored and perhaps even with a way to trigger an alarm. The negative on that one is, you know, if you went through into a store, they would immediately know if you had a cold. We may not always want everyone to be able to identify exactly what our health issues just by looking at us. So there could be both positive and negative in that particular case.
Right. Or you're running for public office or you're trying to get insurance.
Absolutely.
Amy, what instructional goals did you have when you were putting the book together?
Well, we wanted an inquiry format that would be easy for the teachers to follow, so we use a modified learning cycle approach. The activities are designed so that they can be used individually to supplement the curriculum or as a group to teach nanoscale science as a unit. All of the activities use simple, inexpensive materials, and we took the key concepts of the nanoscience and engineering, and we aligned them with all the science domains as well as mathematics.
Do you also provide tips for teachers from these different disciplines to work together?
Certainly. At the beginning of the book, there's a couple of tables that show how all the different activities could be placed in all the different classes. And then within each activity, there's teacher background to give suggestions on how you could work it into different kinds of classes. And a lot of the activities have cross-curriculum goals. So you may be doing something mathematical, but there's a written component as well. So it kind of flows that way.
Great. Gail, Mike, Amy, thanks so much for taking time out of your busy schedules to talk to me today. For more information about nanoscale science activities for grades 6 through 12, including the introductory materials and a chapter on viruses, which are nature's nanomachines, go to www.nsta.org and click on the Science Store. This is Tyson Brown signing off from NSTA Press.
Time for the nano song.
All right, now we have Lodge McCammon with a nanotechnology song.
Nanotechnology, just tiny computers. A nano is a billionth of a meter, that's smaller than sugar. Removing the pollutants in water. Building stronger bikes, so kids can get to soccer when the soccer balls never do get flat. Nanotechnology's fat.